right, afternoon. Let me update you real quick on injuries from this football game. First of all, one that he was deactivated, actually, Terrence Brooks, he's still nursing the hamstring. It's we'll see where he's at actually later in the week to make a decision on him. Nolan Carroll is in the concussion protocol. And then the ones that are okay and will actually practice this week, Alan Barbary, he'll practice this week. Brent Celek, with his rib, he'll be okay to practice. Camus will be out there. He's been one that's been injured here the last couple of weeks. Jason Kelsey has a quad contusion from the game, but will be able to practice. He'll be fine. Benny Logan, a little bit sore, but he's going to be fine. Came through the game okay. Leo with his hamstring got through it fine, and obviously made a huge play at the end of the game. And then Destiny, left calf contusion, was kicked. He'll be okay to practice, good to go this week.
How did his play in the last three games when he was filling in for Allen, and how much?
Yeah, it's great. First of all, it's great to have a guy like Wiz, veteran experience, played a lot of games prior to, you know, joining our football team, and that's great to have that kind of backup guard center combination out of him. He's played well, you know. He's been a solid addition in there. I've been real consistent. You know, a little limited as an athlete, but very smart, makes up for it with his brain and being in the right position.
So with Carroll in the protocol, and with Leotis still kind of had the hamstring injury, do you feel the need to do anything different in terms of personnel at cornerback?
Not at this time. No, and it's too early in the week to make that decision. It's one of those things we'll see later in the week as they progress.
The drive to go ahead in the fourth quarter, lots been made of the previous drives this season where y'all didn't get it done. What did you take from those previous drives, and what were you looking at that they were giving you? And could you take us through that drive a little bit? It looked like the second and 10 run with Sproles was a real key to that. And what were you thinking as you went through that drive?
You know, the biggest thing was coming out of this game, and as opposed to some of those other games, was, you know, we did a little bit better on first and second down yesterday than we did in those previous games, where we kept ourselves in some third and longer situations. At least we were in some manageable down and distances there that gave us opportunities to stay on the field. Obviously the run to Sproles was huge, and then, you know, just our offensive line just taking control, I think, of the line of scrimmage and playing on their side of the ball was a big benefit, and you know, didn't have to necessarily have to throw the ball as much. I mean, our running game obviously was kind of taken over, and wanted to continue that late in the game.
They're a team that likes to pack the box a lot. So second and 10, they probably were showing a lot. What sprung that second and 10, or what did you think worked in that play?
Well, you know, yeah, Atlanta are an 8-man box defense, and you know, a lot of times, sometimes by formation you can spread them out, but at the same time you're going to have to let one guy go. You just don't have enough blockers, and you know, we had a hat for a hat on the play except for the backside guys, and allowed Darren to, you know, get outside on the run and make a nice gain and help us finish that football game. But a lot of times it can be by formation or the design of the play that helps you get that done.
Peter said yesterday he's kind of year to year. How do you think he's playing this year, and how much time do you think he has left?
I tell you what, he's playing. He's playing extremely well, and the for me as a coach and just knowing him as long as I have, I mean, the proud thing for me is where he is physically healthy, you know, and he's in a great position right now, and you know, we're managing him during the week to get him just enough reps during practice to get him to game day. And he feels great. He's getting plenty of rest early in the week that helps him, and you know, I'd love to see him play, you know, as long as he can, you know, but yeah, he's playing extremely well right now.
Is there precedent to managing his time? Did you have a player in mind? I mean, what he said yesterday was he feels fresher than. Was there a guy in your past that you said, I'm going to try to do it like this?
Jason Peters. I mean, you know, because just knowing how we handled him in the past here, you know, just looking back, he's such a dynamic athlete and powerful man at left tackle that, you know, guys like that, you want to, because he works so hard during the week, you want to just, again, give him enough rest during the week that he's fresh and ready to go. And it's a tribute, too, to his, the way he, you know, prepares himself during the week and the way he, his hydration, his nutrition, all of that plays a part, especially this late in the season. How well these guys take care of their bodies off the field is a big part to their recovery and their health, especially the older you get as a football player.
What's your confidence level? You know, if no one can't go this week, you know, in the backup guy, corners, you're like been hesitant to use him in the game. And who might you turn to first, you know, between Aaron Grimes and CJ?
Yeah, you know, obviously Jalen has done a great job in that position. You know, CJ right now has the most, probably the most experience or at least the most reps, you know, playing at that corner position, who's been active and playing more special teams. Aaron is still kind of working into the system just a little bit. Just, you know, he's only been active a week, so we just got to keep bringing him along with some more reps. But, you know, it's a tribute, though, to, I think, our defensive line with those situations. When you talk about the corner position, because when we do put the pressure on quarterbacks like we've done, especially yesterday, it allows our guys to kind of free up a little bit. And if you got to double a guy, you can double a guy and use that to your advantage.
Other than Jordan Matthews, your other receivers, I think, combined for 2 catches for 7 yards, both by Nelson. What's kind of going on there? Like, are those guys not getting open? Or is Carson not looking at them?
No, you know, yesterday it was just, gosh, I mean, the running game just was so big yesterday that we didn't have to throw the ball as much, you know, like we've done in the past. And you know, I've said all along that if we can keep Carson to, you know, those 25 attempts, 30 attempts, I mean, it's a good day usually. And you know, the design of some of the – there were some matchups we had with Sproles on their linebackers, you know, Ertz over the ball, some opportunities versus man coverage with Jordan and over the middle. Just some design things that we had during the game plan that were – not necessarily, you know, a reflection on Nelson or any of the other guys. It was just a matter of the design, the contour, the play, and who was the primary on that play.
As you look at how well the defense is playing, is there a metric you use, whether it's points allowed, yards allowed, third downs? What's the key stat for you?
We have one more point than them at the end of the game. You know, I don't, and I think Schwartz is the same way. I don't put a lot of emphasis on, you know, points, yards, this and that. If we just go out and just execute the game plan and do our jobs and which we've kind of said all along, those kind of things, they kind of take care of themselves. We knew, yes, we did know Atlanta. We know the explosiveness they have on offense. We knew the explosiveness that Pittsburgh had. We knew the firepower that Minnesota was bringing and their defense had. So, but it's just a matter of our guys just, you know, embracing the game plan for that week. It was great to get Benny back yesterday. I think that was a key part of our rush yesterday, and not having to blitz as much. You know, and any time you can rush 4 and not blitz and still put that kind of pressure on your quarterback, it's a great day. And so it takes away all the other stats if you just can do that.
I know the hit on Jordan. Just from the way you reacted on the sideline, it seemed pretty apparent you thought that ought to have been a penalty. Does the uncertainty nowadays in the NFL about what is a penalty and what is not, does that have any effect on coaching, whether it's strategy, teaching technique, any sort of aspect, because you may not have a real good idea of what exactly is an infraction?
It doesn't change anything on our behalf as far as how we teach, how we go about our business, how we instruct our players. I would say this, that a defensive player, yeah, you have to lower your target, you know. And some of these things, listen, some of these things happen so fast and they're bang-bang type plays that to the naked eye at the time, maybe it looks bad when really it's not. That's why all these slow-mo cameras and stuff, you see a bunch of different angles. But it doesn't change how we approach, how we game plan, or how we, you know, teach our players.
Any conversation between you and the league yet regarding that play?
Not yet.
When you went back and looked at it, and how do you feel like those things should be handled?
Well, I mean, again, we talk about player safety and player safety being the number one importance, and you know, I'm not going to get into a bunch of it here, but, you know, a defenseless receiver trying to make a play, all of that kind of stuff. And it happens so fast that, you know, and you know, these guys, listen, the officials are working extremely hard every week. You know, they pride themselves in doing the right thing. And they don't want to be the reason for wins and losses, you know. The best games are when you don't even know they're there. So, you know, give them credit. It happens extremely fast a lot of times. And you know, we could say the same thing about maybe defensive holding. I mean, the umpire is now on the offensive side of the ball, so there's things there. I mean, but, you know, by no means does that can't let it affect us, obviously. I need to probably be a little more cooler in those situations and you know, but you're also looking out and protecting your player, too.
Carson was very accurate, in particular on third down. There are a lot of good throws to Sproles, other conversions. You know, I mean, some of the shorter throws have kind of gotten away from him. What was the difference, you thought, in this week?
One, he was seeing the coverage, seeing the leverage. His target line with his feet, we've talked about mechanics. He's worked on that the last couple of weeks, and he was a lot more accurate yesterday with those throws. And just opportunity. You know, Zach over the ball a couple times, you know, Sproles in the flat, different things like that, taking advantage of some matchups. But Carson working in practice and fixing his feet and target lines and all that have been a big part.
Was there anything that he did differently this week in practice? Or was there anything that you noticed?
No, it's still just him drilling, you know, with Coach DeFilippo and Frank, just working the details and working the drill work in our individual periods in practice.
So getting back to the wide receivers, I know you said there were things you liked with Ertz and Sproles yesterday, but, I mean, it's really been an ongoing thing where Jordan's been the only receiver that's really made an impact. DGB, I don't think, has a catch the last 2 weeks. Trey's had the one deep ball. But, I mean, are you getting enough from that position group other than Jordan? And can you win consistently with one wide receiver making an impact?
I think if, and it's a tough question because it's one football and like five skill guys. You know, I mean, it's something too that maybe by design of the play, it's not necessarily designed for Nelson on this play or DGB on this play. We do have plays intended for those guys. But this offense, keep in mind, this is a progression offense. And if one's not there, two should be there, three should be there. So that's how we teach the system, and that's how we teach our quarterbacks. And a lot of it's, you know, again, by progression based on what they see. So the ball, you know, and again, yesterday, just by the nature of their defense, just gave us Sproles, gave us Ertz, gave us Jordan on those specific plays. And we were able to make those plays. And again, it kind of stems back to the run game a little bit. Being able to run the football alleviates some of that pressure on your quarterback and your receivers.
Yeah, like 70-some snaps. At some point there, wouldn't there be an opportunity to get the ball to one of those other guys?
Well, I mean, when you rush the ball for 200-something yards, it's hard. I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to give something to take something. And I just felt yesterday that, you know, our running game and Ryan, the way he was attacking the defense and the way our offensive line, you know, got after him a little bit. I just felt like that was the way to go yesterday and didn't have to dial up many throws that you know, if we didn't need them.
Is that who you want to be normally, as long as you don't get knocked off your script like you did, you know, against the Giants or whatever?
I think it's definitely a blueprint, you know, to winning games in the NFL. You know, anytime you can rush the ball like that, it does. Speaking from experience, it alleviates the pressure to always have to make that throw or that catch, and you stay manageable. First and second down is, you know, it's so important to your success on third down, and we were able to do that yesterday. You know, 36%, I think, on third down. Like to have one more third down, and then you're even better. But that running game is so important.
You look at the flags, two false starts, two delayed games. Those procedure penalties. What's the issue there?
Focus and concentration. Usually, you know, we do a lot with our snap count. You know, we ask Carson to change it up quite frequently, so we're not always going on the standard one. And we did that yesterday, and it just comes down to just each guy just has to focus, just listen in the huddle, and you're so aggressive, you know, especially on a, well, it doesn't matter, run or pass, you want to come off the ball and anticipate the defender, and sometimes you can lose focus on the count, but that's something that has to be a weapon for the offense.
You guys were pretty successful running in between the tackles yesterday. Do you find that something that, like, Wendell Smallwood especially kind of excels at?
Yeah, I do. I think he's very similar to Ryan, and the fact that he can do that between the tackles, and in fact, a couple of those inside zones you saw actually bend back and jump outside. So both those guys have the ability to do that. Wendell can do that for sure. You know, he showed that yesterday, the toughness that he has to get, you know, to mix it up inside those tackles.
As you mentioned, did having the extra offensive lineman out there, Isaac, get to you yesterday?
Yeah, Isaac is, he's coming along and he's playing. It's a great way to get him on the field, you know, to play him in that position. It's just a bigger body, usually against a defensive end, and nothing against our tight ends, but sometimes a matchup helps in our favor, and it did yesterday. It's something we can continue to grow with in our whether it be a three tight end package or two tight end package like you saw yesterday. But it's great to have guys that and he's so, you know, he's so athletic, he's smart, puts himself in good position, and it's good to have, you know, that extra lineman like that in that position.
Do you have to watch how much you use that in that the defense can generally disregard him as a receiver, whereas they can't necessarily do that with a tight end?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the tendency is to probably run the ball a little bit more. We did have the one play action pass with him in the game, so it's just something that as we go, we just keep track of the numbers and make sure that we're mixing it, you know, a good mix.
Guys, we're getting a lot of contributions from your rookies. Was that sort of Wentz aside, I guess, but was that sort of the intention coming in, was to get these guys involved, and is that an ideal situation to have the rookies playing so many snaps?
Well, obviously we know with Big V and, you know, the Lane situation that you know, in his case, it's tremendous to get Big V those types of reps. Probably wasn't going to happen, you know, if Lane were still here. And it's so valuable that these guys are playing this early in their careers, especially with Carson, and having a guy like Wendell in the game, you know, with Carson. And, you know, now we're putting Isaac in there. So it's just, it's valuable experience for these guys. It's game experience, something we continue to build, you know, build each week.
But do you see competitively from the Falcons run defense that you want to exploit, and how do you go about exploiting that?
Well, the first thing is, you know, again, they're an eight-man front. And, you know, the one thing that I thought Coach Stoutland did a great job with designing was same-side runs mixed in with some backdoor runs and taking advantage of some linebackers, some fast-flow linebackers that we talked about during the week that very aggressive to the ball. And as long as you can stop the penetrators up front and get yourself up to the second-level defenders, you got a chance. And we did a great job in that yesterday and managing that eight-man front. Okay? Thanks, guys.